Let me paint a picture for you. It's 2020, a lovely June day. My wonderful wife, Jessica, is in her third trimester carrying our first daughter. We've scheduled maternity photos for that evening, and Jessica had taken the afternoon off of work to show up relaxed and at her best. Early that afternoon, I stepped down into the basement to grab something and immediately noticed that my sock is soaking wet. I hear the splash underneath my feet, and I hear the tingle in my nose of sewage. I'm a civil engineer. You knew I was going to talk about sewage. There's sewage all over the floor in our basement, and sewage is continually spewing out from underneath of the toilet in this basement bathroom. It's kind of around the corner there. Onto the floor from Jessica using water upstairs. The cause of this mess was a tree root that made its way into our lateral, right? The little pipe that carries all of the wastewater away from our house and out to the pipe in the street. Hours later, we've been through an emergency service call to Roto-Rooter. Jessica taking a very low flow shower in the basement, constantly with the fear of it coming up under her feet. A set of singed nostrils, many buckets of nastiness mopped up, thorough cleaning, and fans running. Bit of singed nostrils. But in the end, you know, this is how it turned out. Is there a delay? There we are. So, you know, one of these things is not like the others, but you would never know from those beautiful photos we got how the rest of our day went. I teach civil and environmental engineering at Bradley. I teach students about exactly this pipe and the years I lived in this house before this event. I never once thought about it. It carried everything my family produced every day silently and got 0 seconds of my attention until the day it failed. Who woke up this morning and opened up a faucet and clean water came pouring out? Anybody? Flushed a toilet without worrying about it, right? Drove here on a road, let's say. Now, it might be full of potholes. That's a different conversation. We can get into it another time. But you interacted with all of this infrastructure and probably gave it absolutely zero thought or thanks for the service it's providing to your daily life. And that's kind of the point. The lights in the building worked. The building was dry when you got here. The point I want to make is that none of these things are natural features of the world. Somebody gave thought to these things. It is the built environment, as we say in my industry. Somebody sized the pipe. Somebody signed off on the construction drawings that it meets all of their regulations and best practices and is making good use of Earth's precious resources. That's the best of our abilities, at least. And somebody right now on a Sunday, I might know them, is down at the local drinking water treatment plant next to where the new arch bridge crosses the river, keeping an eye on all the gauges and making sure everything goes smoothly. Mostly so that your morning stays boring. Every one of these pieces of infrastructure, the things we rely on, announces itself only by breaking. You have a relationship with your sewer exactly once, and it's a bad one. So, what do you think? When was the last time you worried about getting typhoid? Nobody? No takers? What about cholera? And you may have worried about this for other humans existing in the world, but not so much us in our daily lives. For the first 3/4 of a century that this congregation existed, waterborne disease was a fact of urban life and a leading cause of death. These were largely not defeated by advancements in healthcare or by a new drug being invented, but rather boring stuff: drinking water treatment, filtration, chlorination, source protection, wastewater treatment, these beautiful things. I'm familiar with this 7-foot diameter pipe. This is the Riverfront Interceptor getting installed in the 1930s, where it goes into the Greater Peoria Sanitary District. If you've never been, it's one of my favorite places in town. The exciting part of this story, these things that we take for granted day to day, was over before any of us were born. The heroic era of American infrastructure is largely behind us. What is left is what nobody writes about: keeping it. And the keeping it is not less important than building it originally. It is just less interesting to everyone except the people doing it. The absence of disease is not an event. It doesn't make the news. It is, at the same time, one of the largest events that has happened to your health and is invisible precisely because it worked. This is the asymmetry. Failure is not an event. Failure is an event. Prevention is not. This one fact deforms everything downstream. Budgets, because you cannot, photograph a flood that didn't happen. Careers, because no one is promoted for a year in which nothing went wrong. Attention, right, which is the one in this room that we actually can do something about. So this entire, civil engineering profession does its work and is one whose success is largely defined by absence, by nothing happening, by your Tuesday morning being. So what must this look like, right, for the people who live it? What kind of person do you become when this is your daily reality? First of all, in civil engineering, we add huge factors of safety. We calculate the load that's going to be placed on a beam, and we design it to handle twice that, in part because we absolutely do not want to be the cause of a terrible Tuesday morning for you, but also because we're humble and understand the uncertainty in the world, in the real world. We check everything. We have QA/QC. We have peer review, not because we don't trust one another, but because we're all human and we all make mistakes. And before anything goes out the door, we make sure that there's not a mistake hiding in there. There are teams of people working on any design out there. But at the end of the day, one person with a PE license, I have one, signs off on a set of construction drawings and takes the full responsibility for it. That is non-transferable. It carries ethical responsibility and a legal responsibility as well. And the standard, right, if something does happen, something does fail, that we hold ourselves to is not one of perfection, because nobody's perfect. It's not one of ensuring that absolutely zero errors were in a set of construction drawings. That's probably not possible either. It is that we acted as without negligence. It's that we acted as somebody being prudent and taking care in what they were doing in a similar way, in a similar profession, would do. It's our standard of care. because we acknowledge that it's not always possible to assign blame at the end of the day. It's not necessarily the outcome that we have full control over, just our actions. I want to acknowledge that I'm giving you a rosy picture of my profession. And I'll start by kind of my own place in it, right? I am primarily an academic. I have a PE license, I have practice, but most of my time is spent teaching, right? I don't live this day to day necessarily. I also want to be careful not to describe my profession as a priesthood, right? The factor of safety is real, but so is the pressure to shave it. Engineers are as susceptible to short-term thinking, motivated reasoning, the easy way out as any of us in this room, because we are working with the same equipment, human brain. Deferred maintenance is the American norm. We are excellent at ribbon cuttings, not necessarily that great at the upkeep and the boring stuff day to day. Infrastructure has been used to harm people as well. You know, the original story of I-74 going through Peoria and tearing down black neighborhoods is something I encourage you to look up. Who gets a levy and who does not is not always an equitable choice. And engineers work inside of a political and budget constrained society. We don't always choose. There's also a dark version of everything I'm telling you here. And that's that an ethic that says that the unthanked should be content somehow is extremely convenient for the people who benefit from not thanking them. Deferred maintenance runs on somebody absorbing those costs quietly. Some of that you feel yourself in the potholes as you drove here today. I'm not asking anyone to be a martyr, and if that's what you've been hearing, I have said this poorly. I'm sorry. Meaning does not require a perfect system. If it did, no one would ever find any, because nobody has ever worked inside of one. Not in engineering, medicine, teaching, marriage, a congregation. It requires a person who holds a standard anyway. This is a large part of why I teach. Not because the profession is noble necessarily, but because whatever hope it has of improving walks through the door every fall in the form of a bunch of 19-year-olds. As we hold this standard and do the right thing when no one's looking, when you do this quiet work with competence, compassion, and integrity, you're holding your own standard. You know that you did it right, or that you did right, when nobody was looking. And there's durable satisfaction in knowing that about yourself, whether or not you ever see the trees that you planted grow tall. And don't get me wrong, there's enormous beauty in witnessing the good your work does for other people. I tell this to prospective civil engineers all the time, right? Seeing a bunch of people crossing a bridge that you designed in your internship on the day you retire 40 years later is amazing. Watching something you built serve someone. For me, it's, you know, hearing from a student 5 years later. Being seen and thanked by someone who understood what it took. I want that. I do not think it's a weakness to want that. And I don't necessarily trust anyone who says that they've outgrown it. But recognition is not necessarily a wage, but rather a gift. It is not what the work is for, and it's not what makes the work good. It arrives on its own schedule, mostly late, sometimes never. Building your own purpose upon it means that you might spend your life at mercy of other people's attention. But the standard itself is different. The standard is yours. The alternative to public acclaim is not solitude. It's a smaller, more competent audience. some goods can only be recognized by the people who understand the practice from the inside. And there are always such people. You know, in my realm, it might be the water plant operator who notices that you sized a pump right, the inspector who sees a really good detail, the colleague who knows what a decision cost you. So I'm not saying to do good work for nobody, but to do good work that are for the people who can actually see it and hold the standard for the many who never will, most importantly for yourself. And if it's not obvious by now, this is not just a talk on civil engineering and infrastructure. This kind of work applies to all of us. Where is your maintenance? The work that holds things together, including this place, is repetitive, unglamorous, largely invisible, and noticed mainly when it stops. Nobody gets a plaque for the marriage that didn't fall apart. Nobody thanks you for the argument you did not have. This congregation will still be here in 20 years, mostly because of people whose names will not be on the building or anything. There's a way of understanding a faithful life that has nothing to do with peak experiences or dramatic conversion, and everything to do with showing up and doing the small correct thing again and again, mostly unwatched. If you're those people for this congregation, I hope you know who you are. Who sees your mate? Return to this phrase from some of those opening words. The growing good of the world is partly dependent on unhistoric acts. I still think about the sewer lateral that leaves my pipe, that leaves my home and goes out to the street, and not just because I have a yearly calendar reminder. Scheduled preventative maintenance and not the other kind. And I don't necessarily think about it fondly. But I do try to think more about the fact that somebody laid that pipe decades before I was born in a trench on an ordinary Tuesday and did it well enough that it worked for about 50 years before that tree root found its way in. That person did not know my name. I don't know theirs. They were not thinking about me. They just did the job, right? So here's what I ask of you. Hold your standard when nobody is watching, because that's the one part of all of this that you control. And then, because you know exactly how invisible that is, go be somebody's witness. Find the person doing that quiet, load-bearing work in your family, on your street, in this building, and tell them you see it. You will be giving them the one thing